Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading is Jeremiah chapter 40, verse 1 to 6. Jeremiah chapter 40, 1 to 6. The title is the part 3 of My Mishpah. My Mishpah. I'd like to read Jeremiah chapter 40, 1 to 6. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord after Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard, had released him from Ramah when he had taken him bound in chains among all the exiles of Jerusalem and Judah who were being the exiled to Babylon. Now the captain of the bodyguard had taken Jeremiah and said to him, "The Lord your God promised this calamity against this place, and the Lord has brought it on and done just as he promised, because you people sinned against the Lord and did not listen to his voice. Therefore, these things has happened to you. But now, behold, I am freeing you today from the chains which are on your hands. If you would prefer to come with me to Babylon, come along, and I will look after you. But if you would prefer not to come with me to Babylon, never mind. Look, the whole land is before you. Go wherever it seems good and right for you to go." As Jeremiah was still not going back, he said, "Go on back then to Gedaliah, the son of the Ahikam, the son of the Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon has appointed over the cities of Judah, and stay with him among the peoples, or else go anywhere it seems right for you to go." So the captain of the bodyguard gave him a ration and a gift and let him go. Then Jeremiah went to Mishpah to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, and stay with him among the people who were left in the land. This is the word of God. Over the past 2 weeks, we have explored that God desired to communicate, to believe today through the theme is My Mishpah. Mishpah means Hebrew is a watchtower, is a pole, and a place of surveillance. The first to use this word was ravens. He used it to call upon the Jacob's God, whom he himself did not believe in, to witness their agreement of the placing a stone pile between them as a prayer. His heart's desire was first, since this God would watch over them, they must keep their promise. You can see that the Genesis chapter 31, verse 49, "And Mishpah, for he said, the raven, may the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent one from the others." However, so God is not merely our overseer. Through Jacob's confession, who after serving as a servant under raven for 20 years, came to realize that God did not forget the humanity even after Adam's fall, but rather continue to care for, watch over, and protect them. We are able to glimpse God's true heart. According to the Genesis chapter 31, verse 42, is the Jacob confession is like that. "The fear of Isaac had not been for me, surely not you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the toil of my hands." Amen. 700 years after Jacob's Mishpah at Samuel's Mishpah, God shows himself to be the God who watched over all the people of Israel with whom he made a covenant. By sending them a spirit of supplication and a spirit of repentance, God brought Israel back to himself. Through this, the people of Israel came to truly recognize and live with the awareness of God who watch over me and God who grant me victory, becoming those in whom God's glory could dwell. And as a symbol, that he is the God who always watch over and help them. He gave them Ebenezer. That is Jesus, the stone of health. This was a tangible lesson, teaching them to recognize and live by the reality of Jesus, God the Spirit incarnate dwelling among us. In summary, the Jeremiah Mishpat mentioned in today's passage reveals God as the one who watches over the remnant. The prophet Jeremiah is prophesied Israel's complete destruction by the Babylon and witnessed it firsthand. Jeremiah himself was being taken captive to Babylon along with many Jewish royalty, nobles, and leaders. At the Rama is Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard for the king of Babylon, released Jeremiah. This was because Jeremiah had proclaimed God's will, urging surrender to Babylon even at the cost of his own life. The Babylonian kings therefore regarded him as favorably and treated him well. Had Jeremiah gone to Babylon with them, he could have gained the king's trust, securing a high position and generous allowance. Seeing that Jeremiah was reluctant to go to Babylon, he told him to go to Gedaliah, whom the king of Babylon had appointed as a governor over Judah, or to go wherever he wishes. You can see the verse 5. So Jeremiah went to Gedaliah at Mishpah and remained there with the people of Judah who were left. Gedaliah was the grandson of the scribe the Shaphan. You can see the 2 Kings chapter 22, who had made a significant contribution to King Josiah's religious reform by reading the book of the law discovered during the temple repairs in Josiah's time. Moreover, his father is Ahikam, believed all the prophecies of Jeremiah, the man of God, and protected him from those who hate him and sought to kill him. You can find at the Jeremiah chapter 26, verse 24, the scripture said, the hand of the Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah so that he was not given into the hands of the people to put him to death. After Jerusalem fell, he was the one who allowed Jeremiah, who had been imprisoned in the guardhouse, to stay in his own house. You can find at the Jeremiah chapter 39, verse 13 to 14. Mishpah was the priest chosen by the Gedaliah, appointed governor of Judah, to rule over the devastated land of Judah. Those who had not been taken captive to Babylon gathered there, and Jeremiah also joined him. The people of Israel should have deeply understood the reason why Judah was inevitably doomed. Remember the event of Mishpah in summertime, and the great movement of repentance should have arisen. Seeing all that Jeremiah prophesied come to pass, they should have recognized God and launched a revival movement of faith to bring back the glory of God that had departed from them. Even Babylon, which destroyed Judah, knew the reason for Judah's destruction, yet they failed to feel it deeply. Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard for the king of Babylon, told Jeremiah at today's verse 3, and the Lord had brought it on and done just as he promised, because you people sinned against the Lord and did not listen to his voice. Therefore, this thing has happened to you. They should have reflected on the historical and the spiritual significance of Mishpah, where they stood and stayed, and come before God with one heart. but the remnant could not unite as one. God's will was for them to be subjugated by Babylon and serve them for 70 years. You can see the Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 11 to 12. So that through their suffering of faith, the movement like at the Mishpah would arise, leading them to repent and return to God. The Israelites gathered at the Mishpah should have learned that even if they faced the destruction, God, the God of Mishpah, is a watch over them. They need to recognize that if they would only return, God would work restoration through the remnant. Ishmael, who was of royal descent and resented the fact that the Gedaliah, a former scribe, had been the appointed governor of Judah, that conspired with the king of Ammon. Johadan, the military commander who had followed the Gedaliah, is suppressed Ishmael's rebellion. However, after Gedaliah is appointed governor by Babylon, was killed, and the Babylon soldier stations at the Mishpah were all slain, Johadan is feared the Babylonian retaliation and sought refuge in Egypt. She shared his plan with Jeremiah and asked him to pray to God to show them the right path and what they should do. You can see the Jeremiah chapter 42, verse 3. They called God the faithful witness and pledged to obey his voice whether it pleased them or not. Furthermore, they all know well that the blessing comes from obeying God's word. Johanan and the man had sworn an oath. You can see the Jeremiah chapter 42, verse 5 to 6. 10 days later, Jeremiah received an answer from God. He gathered them all together and proclaimed. I like to read Jeremiah chapter 42, verse 10 to 12. If you will indeed stay in this land, this is Canaan, then I will build you up and not tear you down, and I will plant you and not uproot you, for I shall relent concerning the calamity that I have inflicted on you. Do not be afraid of the kings of Babylon whom you are now fearing. Do not be afraid of him, declares the Lord, for I am with you to save you and deliver you from his hand. I will also show you compassion so that he will have a compassion on you and restore you to your own soil. Do not go down to Egypt. Do not be afraid. Stay in the land of Canaan. God promised to be with them, to save them, and to deliver them. This is the very voice of the God of Jacob and Samuel at Mishpah. He also promised to bring back the captives taken to Babylon to their homeland. But if you disobey God's word and leave the land of Judah, he warned, you will die by the sword, famine, and the pestilence. The very things you dread, and none will escape his hand. You can see that Jeremiah chapter 42, verse 13 to 22. Then Johanan and his men told Jeremiah not to write to them. They said God had not given such as an answer. That is according to the Jeremiah chapter 43, verse 2. They had claimed that obeying God's word was blessed even if the response was bad or not what they wanted. Yet when they heard an answer they disliked, they accused Jeremiah of lying. God called them arrogant. You can see the Jeremiah chapter 43, verse 1. From the start, they had asked without any heart to obey God's word. God knew Their heart was set on going down to Egypt, believing that was their only way to survive. Let's look at the Jeremiah chapter 42, verse 20. I like to read, "For you have only deceived yourself, for it is you who sent me to the Lord your God, saying, 'Pray for us to the Lord our God,' and whatever the Lord our God says, tell us, go, so, and we'll do it." They had their own plans, yet they present themselves as if they were people of faith. They harbored hypocritical intentions. If God's answers happen to be what they desire, they wanted to be regarded as those who act in faith and righteousness. However, when God's response revealed their inner soul and showed them the way they should live, they should have felt ashamed and realized, truly, God is the one who watch over us, leading them to repentance and obedience. Indeed, in the last day, the stubbornness that refuse to repent to the end expose one as unrighteous before God. Let's look at the Psalm chapter 2, verse 5. I like to read, "But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath of yourself in the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God." How terrifying is this? God is a God who examines. Are you not deliberately pretending not to know that He sees through all our innermost thought as you live your faith life? You must not treat God lightly. According to the Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2, the scripture said, "Every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart." Are you living a life to where humanism and human calculations always take precedence over God's word and faith in God? If so, you are not changing, but rather plunging yourself into the path of destruction and wrath. There is a crucial point we must not overlook. Let's look at the Jeremiah chapter 43, verse 1. I'd like to read one more time. "But it came about as soon as Jeremiah, whom the Lord their God has sent, had finished telling all the people all the words of the Lord their God." That is all these words. It is the word all. It is used twice. The first, it says, "to all the peoples." This signifies that Jeremiah has gathered all the people and proclaimed the message clearly and publicly before them. Even though the word was proclaimed, disobedience was each individual's personal responsibility. It was not because someone else said so, or because they had to follow the leader and couldn't help it. It emphasized that no one could shift the blame onto others to escape the accountability for their disobedience. Each person must bear their own responsibility. The second, it was all the words God commanded to spoken. Jeremiah did not selectively choose arbitrarily to omit or add to God's words, but delivered them fully and perfectly. Yet, because it did not suit their taste, they slandered God's words as lies. Those without faith regard God's words as a curse. Let's look at the Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10. "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ears are closed, and they cannot listen. Behold, the word of the Lord has come to reproach to them. They have no delight in it. God's word works in those who receive it, not as the word of man, but as it ought to be received with fear, and they are the blessed ones. Let's look at the First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. The scripture said, but for what it reality is, the word of God, which also performs these works in you who believes. Amen. They ultimately separate the Jeremiah's God from their own God to achieve their own claims, to obtain what they desire. They assert that the God they believe in and the God Jeremiah believes in are different God. Ultimately, this amounts to denying God. Let's look at the Jeremiah chapter 43, verse 2. And Azariah, the son of the Hosiah, and Johanan, the son of the Kaleah, and all the arrogant men, said to Jeremiah, "You are telling a lie. The Lord our God has not sent you to say you are not to enter Egypt to reside there." This is how terrifying unbelief is. They resort to observe the surrender to get the answer. They went at any cost. They accused Jeremiah of making false prophecies, swayed by the Baruch, who was like his personal secretary. This is an act far worse than simple disobedience. What became of those proud ones who disobeyed God's word and fled to Egypt? They met destructions, just as God had spoken. The Babylonian army descended upon Egypt, conquered the land, and utterly annihilated the remnant who had fled there, thinking it a refuge. Beloved saint, certainly, the moment of suffering will come upon us too. There is nowhere in this world to hide to escape the final plagues and the judgment. Jesus said in the scripture, Luke chapter 21, verse 35, "For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of all the earth." Our refuge is only one place. It is Jesus himself. It is the word. Let's look at the Matthew chapter 28, verse 20 is Jesus' promise to us, teaching them to observe all that I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages. Amen. God watches over this place, Love First Church. God's eyes, heart, and ears are here. Please believe that. Let's look at the 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 16. The scripture says, "For now I have chosen and consecrated this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually." He said what? Mishpah, that is he watching over that. When everyone cries out that they will die, we are the church that proclaims the eternal life, our Love First Church. Amen. This is because it is the church of Ebenezer who helps us to the very end. The time will come when we face the beast mark, and without it we cannot survive. At that time, so we may not receive the beast mark to live among the faceless. Instead, we must cling solely to God's word, believe in God's covenant, recognize God, fear only God, and live a righteous life. This is what I and all of you must become. Amen. God's redemptive history is carried forward through the remnant who treasure God's covenant as their very life. As a community of the new covenant, our church must become the spiritual mishpah and Ebenezer, saints in the final hour of the beast. Awake solely through the prayer and the word, erecting a mishpah in each heart to clearly demarcate the word, standing firm upon the truth, thus strengthening our weak faith. When the temple of the Spirit is built by the Spirit of the last Father, we will truly become the churches, the body of Christ in each of us. Today, we are the remnant called to the final mishpah. It is time to stand tall as those truly set apart as holy in the world and the Holy Spirit awaiting the Lord's returns. This is the final call of our love for the church. I pray in the name of the Lord that each of us may be those who respond to this call. Amen. Let us pray together. We give thanks, glory, and praise to the Father for His great grace and love. We thank You for enabling to us recognize and believe that You are the God who has been with us and watching over us from the beginning at Jacob's Mishpah through Samuel Mishpah and now to Jeremiah Mishpah. Please allow that all of us who have passed through this Mishpah may dwell together in the Father's house, in the New Jerusalem, where the Father's and the Lamb watch over us. God, who watch over our thoughts, plans, heart, words, and every step, may all the saints of Lord First Church become those who receive the praise from the Father by working in faith and a faith that pleases Him alone, so that when the Lord returns, we may all receive the praise, honor, and glory. Before our Father, who knows every detail of our circumstance, may we all entrust everything to Him. Liberate Him, respond amen to every word and hear the Father's voice saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant, come and share in your Master's joy." We earnestly pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.